The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the show. Matt Slick Live. Hey, it is, June 10th, 2021. And we have five wide open lines if you want to give me a call. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. For the newbies who might be tuning in right now going, all right, what's this show about? Christian apologetic show and call-in driven, and we talk about basically everything. And so give it a biblical perspective best I can, and that's what we do. So the number, 877-207-2276. Let's see, got that going there. All right, and if you want to watch the show, it's easy to do. All you have to do is just go to the CARM website, carm.org, and the homepage, you'll see the link on the middle of the page on the right-hand side. Not a big deal. Oh, and let's see what else. We have a prayer ministry, so if you're interested in participating, being prayed for, or you want to help do prayers, you know, pray for other people, all you got to do is contact us at prayer@carm.org. prayer@carm.org. That's all you got to do, and that shouldn't be a problem. And so what I'm hoping is, there we go, get that in there too. Change that. Good. What I'm hoping is that you guys will give me a call right now. We have five open lines. Give me a call. Usually what happens is towards the end of the show, we get just a plethora of calls and inundated. So if you want to give me a call now, four open lines, 877-207-2276. We're working hard on the schools. It's taking a lot longer than we thought because the technology that we're converting it over to is precise, and it's just what it is. Not a problem. We'll get it done probably maybe in a month. Maybe in a month, in, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks, I'm thinking. And it'll be nice. We're going to have testable scores and all kinds of really neat things with it, so it's good stuff. And we're working on the site quite a bit. There's a lot to do. Oh, we have five open lines. We lost somebody, I guess. Well, now we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. So I'm working on different projects. I'll be writing an article pretty soon on how much self-defense we are to be able to do as Christians. I'm going to get into some particulars about weapons and martial arts and passivity and what we can and can't do. I'll be working on that. And then I got an article to do on the socialistic totalitarian regime that is slowly developing in the country. And that'll be interesting. I got a lot of information on that. And I'm going to write an article related to that on what we need to do as Christians in the coming persecution. And a lot of people don't think we're going to be persecuted. I believe we are. It's just a matter of time. You know, Philippians 1:29, God actually appoints us and grants to us persecutions. Believe it or not. That is a statement that a lot of people would say that would never be in the Bible. And I'm going to read you the verse right now and prove it to you that it is in the Bible. I'm going to go to Philippians 1, which I use this verse a lot, 29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. I know a lot of people in Christianity teach a therapeutic kind of view of Christianity. God wants you healthy, he wants you wealthy, he wants you comfortable, and this is what Christianity has become, which is a way to weaken it. Then people are not really willing to suffer for the faith, which is normal for the Christian, for the apostles, for the disciples, for the Christians throughout history, for Christ himself. Not saying, hey, you know, if you're not suffering, you're not a real Christian. I'm just saying that we've been enjoying here in this country a great deal of benefit and safety, and the leftists, the progressive leftists, are moving against Christianity, against God's absolutes, and when you don't have transcendentals, you don't have absolutes, you don't have universal truths, then they will replace it with their own, and that means that they will always be oppressive. That's just how it works. All you got to do is look at atheist societies throughout history, in particular the past 1900s, and you'll see what it brought. It brought oppression, enslavement, and death. That's just what it is. So there you go. There you go. There you go. Really pleasant opening line, opening statement. All right, three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. And why don't you give me a call? All right, Alberto from Georgia. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Matt Slick. What about if I'm a, I probably believe I'm a child of God, right? And I got tons of knowledge of eschatology, bibliology, Christology, phenomenology, and all kinds of ologies. But they consider me not a child of God. So then I ask them, okay, what do I have to do to become a child of God? So I cry this and this and that, and then I cannot do it. So even though I'm a new baby in Christ, even though now they know I got all the knowledge, they can't force me or put me in a position in a leadership or to lead in a church in a high position teaching other people because I'm a new baby in Christ. So I have to behave like a new baby in Christ, even though I got tons of knowledge of scripture, pulmonology, Christology,
Let me ask you, what's your question?
That's my question. So if I believe I'm a child of God, but they say I'm not, so then I become a Christ, believer in Christ, I have to behave like a newborn baby in Christ.
But that's not a question.
Even though I got the...
Alberto.
Well, okay, that's my question.
Ask a question.
Do I have to behave like a new baby in Christ, even though I got tons of knowledge of scripture, eschatology, and all that stuff?
A new babe in Christ, what we're told is to, I believe it's in Hebrews, to leave the elementary principles. It's got to be another place. Hebrews 12, I think. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity. They don't want you to stay babes in Christ. They want you to become Christians and then press on to maturity, Hebrews 6:1 says. So I'm not sure what the issue is.
Well, my question is, even though I'm really mature, but they say I'm not a child of God, then I say, okay, I'll become a child of God, but I'm born again, and I'm a new babe in Christ. So even though I got the tons of knowledge as a mature Christian, as of 20 or 10 years of knowledge in my brain.
Okay, well, wait a minute.
So they can't force me in a position.
Alberto, you've mentioned this several times. You know, you have tons of knowledge and things like that. Are you telling people you have tons of knowledge in your church?
No, I'm not saying no, but I might have tons of knowledge more than the people who've been longer in church, who should be much mature in church. Yeah, they're more babe-like Christ in church. You know, these Christians have been 20 years, 30, and they're still immature. They haven't grown. They've been like Apostle Paul said, you should be teachers by now, yet I could be teaching you, like, you know, giving you milk still. Yeah, somebody could be new in Christ and yet have been mature in Christ already. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And knowledge in Scripture.
Yes, but there's
Alberto,
I'm listening. Espérate, por favor. Okay. So here's the thing.
Okay.
That knowledge is good, but it puffs up. It can make people arrogant. And I'm not saying you are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying knowledge is good, but what's really the issue is a humble maturity in Christ. And that's what you need to be focusing on, you know, humility, patience, kindness, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, things like that. And so that's what's supposed to be happening, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
Yeah, but my question is that they can't force me in a position of leadership because... Or to put them above... to lead some other people because I'm a new baby in Christ. In other words, you know what I'm saying? They can't ask me to do it because I have to pretend I'm a new baby in Christ. You know what I'm saying? Like I have to pretend I don't know nothing much about the Scripture, even though I know plenty of the Scriptures. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Get my point?
No.
Sort of get my point?
Alberto.
Go ahead.
You're going at 80 miles an hour, okay? And you're throwing sentences out left and right, and I'm not able really to follow you to understand what the real issue is. Are you talking
about... Okay, let me explain it this way.
No. Let me ask you some
questions.
Like
example.
No, let me ask a question. Are you talking about a church that you're going to and how they are with you in the church?
An example, like I used to.
Alberto.
Go.
Alberto, I asked you a question.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Are you talking about how you are or a church is with you, a particular church that you're going to?
Not right now. I used to go to church by that.
Okay.
Not right now.
All right.
An example.
No, Alberto.
That's my thing.
Alberto, okay.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Okay. Despacio, por favor. Okay. So, what I would suggest is that you pray and ask God to deal with you in whatever area that you need to be dealt with in this, and you need to find a church to go to and humbly wait and move to be able to be used by God and things like that. That's what I would suggest. If you're not going to a church, this is kind of a mood issue. You need to get to a church and be attending. Okay? Are you there?
Okay.
All right.
Because sometimes there's people been in church for years and they don't grow. And since somebody's
That's
new,
true.
Or they start growing way beyond their time in the main church, so they should be being taught by the ones been longer in church. Yet the opposite, he has to teach those been longer in church. Get my point?
I think so. But
in other words, the new believer is more mature in scripture than the old believer is to a babe.
But this depends on circumstances.
Or knowledge of scriptures.
Yeah. All right. So I'd check out, 1 Corinthians 8. It'd be a good chapter to study. Okay? All right, buddy.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right, Alberto. Okay. God bless. All right. Wow. Okay. Two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Mark from Salt Lake City. I was just there a few days ago. Hey, Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, Matt, good to hear from you. My question is on the what do you view on eschatology on end times?
What's my view?
Got to wrap up here.
I'm sorry, is that what you're asking?
Mm-hmm.
What's my view?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm amillennial, and I believe that when Christ returns, the first ones taken are the wicked, and then the rapture will occur, and then the new heavens and new earth will be made. That's the short version. Okay.
And before that, that'll be the bad times.
Yeah, I believe there's going to be a tribulation period. The Antichrist will manifest, and Christians are going to be.
It has to be.
And Christians are going
to
be.
We have to be tested.
Yeah. Yes, Christians are going to be persecuted.
We got to know people have faith. That's for sure. And mm-hmm. God doesn't want any weaklings. He doesn't like that.
Uh huh. I believe it's coming. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's all I got.
Okay.
Good to hear from you.
All
keep
right.
On, keep on listening to you. Glad I met you last Sunday, and I'll be looking for you in the future.
Okay. So, were you there Sunday night?
Yeah. I was one right next to you.
Oh, you're the guy, the big guy not right next to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember you. Yeah. How you doing, buddy? Yeah. And you were out there at the anti-abortion thing, too. Good for you. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Been there all, yeah. Because they're not Tuesday morning out. Just where they were again today. Got a couple of bird sightings, you know.
Okay, good stuff. All right, maybe we had a break.
You know,
well, God bless, Mark. All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Hey, folks, we have three open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, just want to let you know that tonight I'll be teaching online. I'll be teaching on the parables, and that'll be at roughly 9 p.m. Eastern time. We do Eastern time. And I say roughly because we start at odd hours. It's usually between 7 and 7:30 we start, and that's because we have people coming in. I teach here in the house. And so just letting you know about that. If you want to do that, if you want to join, it's trust me, the parables are very interesting when when they're put in cultural context. One of the ones I'm going to go over is the unrighteous steward who is praised. Why is an unrighteous steward, a liar, praised? I'll be going over that, the prodigal son. I'll be going over the Good Samaritan, and I'll be going over the issue where the woman let her hair down and kissed Jesus' feet. That's a very powerful occurrence. And anyway, if you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. That would be Nelson from Bakersfield, California. Hey, Nelson, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. God bless. Oh, wow. I can't wait for your study. You said the study's tonight, correct?
Yes, and I forgot to mention how to get to it. Okay. All you got to do is go to, I'll put it on the CARM Facebook page, and then the information will be there. And watch it, okay? It's not real exciting, but it should be interesting. Okay.
Amen. Yeah, my question was referring to Galatians 5. It's a couple of verses. Maybe if you could help me to understand. I mean, I understand it, but can you give me more of an insight from what it's referring to within the body of believers? And how to overcome the sinful flesh.
Well, let me read them, and then we'll talk about it, okay? So yeah. The verses, Galatians 5, 16 through 18, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, there's some theology in here, as well as kind of a devotional material. And what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Well, there's not any place in the Scripture that says, this is what it means to walk by the Spirit. But we can conclude it means to avoid sin, to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Spirit bears witness of Christ. And when it talks about walk by the Spirit, it's talking about the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, love, self-control, etc. Now, that's incidentally, a lot of people don't know this, but the word fruit in the Greek is karpos, which is a singular word, not karpoi, which is plural. Yeah. So it's like saying the single fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So all this belongs to us because the Spirit of God lives in us. So, but how we manifest them, that's the issue. So we walk by the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. So if you are loving and joyful and peaceful and patient and kind and good and faithful and you have self-control, you're gentle, then you're not going to be going out committing adultery and doing drugs and getting drunk and fornicating and doing all these things. And as Christians, we don't do those kinds of things, but we have, let's just say, less visible. Generally, we don't do those things. Some Christians do, and it's not right, of course. But we have a struggle more internally. We might have a lust or a covet that we're dealing with, or a little bit of anger, or whatever it might be. And a pride, selfishness, you know. And so when we... hold on a sec. When we... I just thought of an analogy kind of a thing here. What would you do? You know, let's say there's a glass, and you wanted to take all the air out of the glass. Well, you know, if I said, okay, take the air out of the glass, what would you do? You know, you seal it, you put a tube on it, you get a machine that causes a vacuum. And that's one way to do that. But a better way to do that is just fill it with water. You fill it with water and the air goes away. And so the desires of the flesh are that in that glass, and to disperse it, we fill ourselves with the Spirit of God. And so instead of working to get rid of something, then work to get the Spirit of indwelling us to, you know, work in that. Instead of sucking something out, put something in. So instead of trying to work in opposition to all these things, which is okay to work in opposition, but the main thing is be filled with the Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, these other things just move away. And this is what is going on, we're talking about here. It says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And I know that one. I don't know about everybody else out there in radio land, but I sure know that one. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. And that's the case. It doesn't mean we're not saved when we don't do what we ought to do. It means that we're sinning and we're failing. It doesn't mean we lose our salvation. It doesn't mean it's okay to sin. But what it does mean is that we recognize within us that war of the good and the bad, the flesh and the spirit, and what we're trying to do is honor God, and yet we fail. And so what we need to be is led by the Spirit of God, verse 18. And when in that case, if you do that, you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now what it means to be under the law is spoken of in Galatians 4:4. Jesus was under the law. Well, to be under the law means you have to do the things of the law in order to have that right place with God. But we are not under that. There is no obligation for us to keep that law. And the reason is because in the doctrine of federal headship, where the male represents the descendants, that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4, in him is a term of federal headship. And we died with Christ, and we were crucified with Christ, Romans 6:6, Romans 6:8. These are the issues of federal headship. And so because we're in Christ, and Romans 7:4 says that the one who has died is freed from the law, and since we were in Christ and we died with Christ, therefore we're not under the law. We're not obligated to keep that law in order to be right. So instead of keeping that law, what we have the ability to do now is be filled with the Spirit. And we can be filled with the Spirit by seeking, believe it or not, the Spirit himself. And you can talk to the Spirit, say, Lord, Spirit, fill me with your love and your joy and your peace, your patience, your kindness. The dedication to the Lord Jesus, open my heart, fill me. And as you are filled with the Spirit, that other stuff is pushed out of the way. Just as a glass that fills with water, the air is removed. And this is the basic analogy and way. Does that make sense?
Amen. It does. Wow. Okay. That's because in my life, I've been struggling a lot with just with lust, and and I know there's nothing good in me, meaning my flesh.
Right.
And so but I know that the Lord has set me apart for His glory, and it's a battle.
Yes.
It's a battle.
Let me tell you something, though. This is a word of encouragement. We all battle, and we all fail. So when we battle and when we succeed, and when we battle and when we fail, we succeed because of the grace of God, and we fail because of our sin, but yet the grace of God sustains us. And in both of those, as we look to Christ, we bring glory to Him as we war against our sin, committing ourselves to Christ each and every time. Okay, brother?
Amen. Thank you, Matt.
Amen, brother. God bless. Okay. Hey, we have two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. I got to tell you what's happening in the chat room. We have a lot of people there. And Charlie Spine, is an old friend of mine. He's the guy who got me started in apologetics 41 years ago. And he's in the room, and what he does is he listens, and he puts in links to the CARM articles from whatever I'm talking about. And so I was, during the break, I said, we ought to, get a shirt that says Link Man for Charlie, just kind of goofing around. And Charlie has a big white beard and big glasses, and I said, better yet, we should call it Missing Link Man, because so we were all laughing about that. A lot of fun. We have a good time in there. All right, let's get to Mike from Boone, Iowa. Hey, Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, my goodness. Can I digress for just a second?
Sure.
Is it okay to lust after my wife?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay,
lust after my wife.
So let's move on.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to try to focus.
Okay.
So Matthew chapter 28, where it says, mm-hmm. I thought it said go and preach, but it says go and make disciples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is it still okay to, like there's this particular bar in town that I just love to go into. I don't go in there and drink. Mm-hmm. I have coffee. And they call me Preacher Man.
Okay.
My question is, now I forgot what my question was. Oh, yeah. So is that still a command from Jesus to go and share the good news?
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
I hope so.
Yeah. Now, not many people are doing it, but you can do it in all kinds of different ways. Yeah, it says, go, therefore, and that is aorist, passive, participle, plural, nominative, masculine. So,
what? You speak in tongues?
Just about. Aorist means it's past tense in the Greek. Passive means you receive in the action.
Okay.
Participle means that it's an ing word, going, eating. Plural is obvious. Nominative means it's the in the case of Greek or nouns decline, it's the main topic or subject, and it's in the masculine gender. So we would say, you have to learn all this stuff when you do Greek. Aorist, passive, participle, plural, nominative, masculine. And then if you pass it, yeah, for real. So go therefore. And it's actually kind of interesting because it does say it's in the aorist. And I would think it'd be in the imperative. An imperative is a command, go. But it's an aorist passive. And I'm looking at this, is interesting. I never really checked it out before. Aorist passive participle, which means it's like saying in the intention, aorist is past tense. It's like saying having been going, having done this.
Oh.
Because it's a participle. Which means ing, you know, eating, walking, thinking. These are participles. But aorist is, there's first and second aorist, and aorist means just basically past tense. So it's past tense going and doing. So go, therefore, make. That's interesting. Go is the Greek word peruomai. Just one little, you know, peruomai. So go, therefore, make. This is interesting.
I do this podcast every morning, and you know, it's real easy to be bold behind a microphone, but there's this gentleman that I know that had, he's on the sex offenders list, and it's just as of the last week or two, I've just been really...
Wait a minute, wait.
Really
he
been
is?
Convicted to go and share. I'm not.
He is, okay.
He
I'm
is.
Making sure. Well, go share with him.
And, exactly. I don't know what this new... What's going on? But it's like I feel like I've been whoring around for a while, like Hosea.
Been what?
Well, you know, the in Hosea where God tells him to go marry a whore or an adulteress.
So and you
this,
said that
new and, love for.
Yeah. So
well, it's like he's come back to be who he's supposed to be, and that's I'm betrothed, right?
Okay, I'm a little lost. You're talking about this guy that you know, or yourself, or what? I'm a little lost.
I'm going all over the place. See, I'm not focusing. This is part of my problem. Let's pray.
That's all right.
So, how
about this? What's your question?
Obedience.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that because I heard that first guy that you talked to, and I could sure relate to where he was coming from.
Well,
I was put in a position of teaching confirmation 2 weeks after I had my come to Jesus moment, and I was like, what? You want me to what?
Yeah,
I just
early.
Don't know that it was.
And
I've been through the puffed up knowledge thing too, and I'm probably still there.
Well, I
so
what? Know. So the issue about go.
What's my question?
Yeah, so the issue about go, and also to make disciples is in the imperative. Okay, so it's a command. While going, make disciples. That's basically what it's saying. So what this is actually saying is that as Christians are doing what they're supposed to be doing, they should be making disciples. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah.
And I don't have to have some special certificate, except from the Universal Church in California.
Yeah. Well, you can take them.
I'm sorry.
And you can flush them. So,
okay.
Flush them. You don't need any degree. You just be obedient
Amen.
To the Lord, and you ask him to use you. And to prep you
Amen.
To be used. A lot of people say, use me, Lord, and they wait. You know, well, 24 hours later, nothing's happened. Or you ask to be used, and all of a sudden, 24 hours later, things get really bad in your life. You ask to be used, he's prepping you. He's shaping you. That's what happens.
Wow.
Okay?
Okay. That's what I really was hoping I would hear from you. Thank you so much. I'm hooked on the show.
One more thing. Say you go to a bar, all right? I have no problem with that personally, okay? And you go there, but if you go there to witness and it's an opportunity to meet people in order to share the faith, that's a good thing.
Well, it's interesting because this morning when I walked in, the gentleman sitting next to me, he did a sign for me about the podcast I do. And the first thing he asked me, and I didn't know what the gap theory is. I don't know what the gap theory is.
Okay, yeah. Well,
I don't know what, do you believe in the tribulation? I don't know.
Go to Karm, look up gap theory, look up tribulation. You'll have you'll get some stuff there, okay?
All right. Cool. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, God bless. All right, let's get on the phones with Gene from South Carolina. Gene, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, I have two questions.
Sure.
Okay, the first one is, do you believe that homosexuality is a sin?
Absolutely, yes, it's a sin.
Okay, all right. Do you know, or are you aware of, any scripture in the Old Testament that condones the sin of homosexuality?
No, there's not.
I have a friend that said that there was something in Leviticus. I was so upset, by the response.
No.
I said, we are not Old Testament Christians. Now, I did not know if what they were fixing to say was the truth or not. But I've got a Strong's exhaustive. I've not run reference in the Old Testament. But I thought maybe you might know since you're so knowledgeable.
Well, there is nothing in the Old Testament that promotes homosexuality. In the Old Testament, for example, Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination.
That's in Leviticus.
Leviticus 18:22. Now, I need to tell you...
Is that the Old King James, or is that the NIV?
No, that's the NASB. I use the NASB. Okay.
You'll have to have patience with me.
That's okay.
What is that?
It's the New American Standard Bible, all right?
Okay,
And I'll go to the King James, which says this, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination.
Okay, all right. Okay. Now, the Bible does not contradict itself.
That's correct.
All right. Now, in the New Testament, does it confirm that statement?
Yes, it does. In 1 Corinthians 6:9 is one place.
Okay.
And you do not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor homosexuals, et cetera, will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me...
I have the Old King James. I have never seen the word homosexual in the Old King James.
Yes. I want to get a word in here and kind of...
Go ahead.
Okay. So the word homosexual in Greek is arsenikoitas, and it means male better, man better. The word did not appear in the Bible until 1946, and the reason it didn't is because the word homosexual wasn't coined until, I think, the early 1900s. Homo means same, and sexual, okay, same sex. So there's a movie coming out that they're trying to get produced called 1946, The Movie. And it is an attempt to make the Bible approve of homosexuality by going into Greek, by going into Hebrew, by looking at various things, and they're working on this to do this. Now, if you want to hold on, I got a little bit more information after the break, okay? All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Hey, folks, we have two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on the air with Gene. Gene, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. So...
tell me your name. Is it Matt or Mac?
Matthew.
Matthew. Okay, and your last name?
Slick, S-L-I-C-K. It's my real name. It's not a radio name.
S-L-I-C-K.
That's correct. Yeah.
S-L-I-C-K.
Yeah. Some people think it's a radio name. But
do you minister, Matthew? Are you a pastor?
I'm an ex-pastor.
You're an ex-pastor, so you don't have a congregation or church that I could send my friend to? Okay. All right.
No, but I have a huge website with a bunch of information.
All right.
And the website
is... Go ahead.
The website's carm.org, carm.org.
C-A-R-M.
And the site's approaching 150 million visitors. As we, you know,
C-A-R-O-M?
Nope, C-A-R-M.
C-A-R-M, okay.
.org. Carm.org, C-A-R-M. Or if you just type my name in Google, you'll usually find all kinds of stuff. Matt Slick.
All right, sweetie. And may I ask you how old you are?
Sure, I'm 64.
Excellent. Okay. All right.
Sure.
Did you want to continue, or did you?
I was going to say that the homosexual community has produced what's called the Queen James Bible. The Queen James Bible.
Lord, you're kidding me.
No.
Okay, it's getting thicker and harder.
Yeah. And I have it, and I've gone through, and I've analyzed the texts, and I have a section on CARM, on homosexuality, and it's a great sin, and it's going to be used more and more to oppress and suppress Christians, and it is definitely a sin, and they need to repent of it like they repent of all other sins. And homosexuality is the only sin I'm aware of in Scripture, where when you commit it, you're given over to it. There's a judgment that comes upon the person. So let me read this, and this is Romans chapter 1:26. It says, "For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper."
Okay. That's Romans.
Romans 1, 26, 27, 28. Okay? If you read Romans, I recommend everybody do this. Read Romans. Look for the sin and the judgment. The sin and the judgment. And the last half of the chapter.
It's not just hell. Something is going to... If they commit the act, what's the positive alternative if they want God?
If they want God...
After they've committed the act, they did not know that it was a sin. They thought it was acceptable behavior.
They're still under judgment. Ignorance is not an excuse.
What does that mean?
Sin does not become real or not real if we're aware of it or not aware of it. Sin is based on the character and the mind of God, not on our ability and knowledge. So whether they know it or not, it's a sin, and it's improper. And everybody knows what's right in their own heart, because God has written a law on their hearts. Romans chapter 2 talks about this. So they're without excuse. Okay. And so this is a judgment. So God gives them over to the depravity of their heart and their mind, so they believe the lie. And if you go down to the last verse of Romans 1, verse 32, "And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them." And this is exactly what's happening in the homosexual community, is that they are giving hearty approval. And so in the foolishness of our nation, celebrating Pride Month, Pride the rainbow, which is the place where God covenanted with Noah not to destroy the world anymore by water. So in other words, it's a symbol of the judgment of God upon the sin of mankind, and the Pride people use that symbol as a symbol for their unrighteousness as they move forward. It's an insult to God. And so the judgment of God is upon them. They're believing the lie. And we Christians better stand up against them real tough, because they are going to win. And I'm working on information about all this kind of stuff. Okay. All right.
Pardon me. You want Matthew?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what did you say? That very last thing. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's all right, Jean.
This is so intense, yeah, because this person is being swept away, and I know that they're not, I know they're not like that. I know it. Yeah. And they've got to be helped. They've got to be rescued.
Well, I'll tell you what. Go check out the website, okay? There's a lot of information there, and you can read up on stuff. What I do is stick with the Bible, and I stick with it as closely as I possibly can. That's what I've been doing. This website's 25 years old. I've been working on it for a long time. All right?
Yes, you have a lot of patience. Matthew, do you believe that a homosexual person can be converted back to Christianity?
Absolutely. No, I would not back. You don't lose your salvation. But can homosexuals become Christians? Absolutely. I've met many who've left homosexuality and become Christians. Okay?
All right. Happen. But there is a judgment that still comes upon them because of the sin. Is that right?
Once they have repented and come to Christ, then that judgment is gone. But it's talking generically about those who don't repent, who don't acknowledge the true living God. They are the ones given over to judgment, and they believe the lie. They are oblivious to their own incredible sinfulness. And so it's an interesting judgment that occurs now that, in a sense, guarantees their damnation. It's how bad homosexuality is.
Okay? I know. I've read it's a very grievous sin.
Yes, it is. Yes,
thank
it is.
You so much. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, too. God bless.
God bless you, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Okay. I like that guy called sweetie. I like that. All right. Let's get to Patrick from Charlotte, North Carolina. Patrick, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Sorry for the long wait.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. No problem.
Mark 3:13. Who is Jesus speaking to, and what is the contents of that verse?
Mark 3:13. Well, he's healing. Look at the headlines on the Bible. Questions on the Sabbath, healing on the Sabbath. Jesus withdrew to the sea. Disciples left the boat. When unclean spirits saw him, you're the Son of God, he earnestly told them not to say anything. He was healing many. It looks like he was speaking, and some of the, yeah. And it says, and well, then he went up to the mountain. And so it looks like a change in scenery. And summoned those who he himself wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12. So it looks like a close-knit fellowship of disciples, and he appointed 12 apostles out of them. Okay.
Okay, so he chose the 12, and then they came to him. Now, we go to John 6:37?
Okay. Yes. What about it?
Can you just read that?
Yeah. John, all that the Father gives me will come to me. When it comes to me, I'll certainly not cast out. Okay.
So doesn't that make sense that Jesus in John 6:37 was speaking about the apostles and not us today?
No. Nope.
Why, it's on them.
Let me explain why.
Parallel to Mark.
Let me explain why. What you did was you went to Mark 3:13 and see that he appointed 12 there when he summoned certain people. And would you admit that in Mark 3 that Jesus is the one who called them? And that's the case. He called them, and then he appointed the 12 out of that. So that's Jesus' work. He appointed 12. In John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. That's different.
Right.
The Father's the one giving them to the Son. The Son is not appointing them. And notice what it says. Let me read the whole thing. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me I certainly will not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he's given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. Excuse me, Patrick. Would you be polite enough to let me finish the reading of God's word? Is that okay? Is it okay with you, Patrick? If it's not, we'll just move on.
I'm not talking.
Two.
Go ahead.
We'll move on. I asked him a specific question. I said, is it okay? And what he was doing was being rude, and he wouldn't answer a simple question. And if he wants to call back, he can call back, maybe tomorrow, and we can have a discussion. I was trying to explain to him the context. Now, unfortunately, there is somebody named Flowers out there who is teaching against Reformed theology and uses this kind of argumentation. I know what it is. I know how to answer it. And I'm finding that his followers are so impatient that they don't listen, that they just proclaim. And we don't want that on the show. We have conversations. So he's welcome to call back, but he needs to be polite. Let's get to Randy from Kentucky. Randy, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Yes. How are you doing today?
Doing all right, man. What do you got, buddy?
I was wondering, there in Revelation 12 where it talks about Satan or the red dragon and the angels getting kicked out of heaven. Do you think that has happened in the past, it's going to happen, or what's the time frame of that?
Well, see, pre-mill, post-mill, all-mill might have different views on this. And so when the dragon gets kicked out of heaven, a lot of people think that that is before the creation of the world, and some think it was right around the time of Adam and Eve in the fall. Because the Bible talks about, and I forgot where, it saw Satan falling from heaven. And so they think that that might be that. There's just debate on this. I'm telling you, this is just different views.
Okay.
And so when it says he swept a third of the stars from heaven and threw them into the earth, it seems to be the place where a third of the demonic realm fell. And that seems to have occurred before some say before the creation of the earth, and some say right after it when he went into the garden to see Eve. There's just different views, and I don't know which one's the exact right one. Okay.
Okay. All righty. Well, can I ask one thing real quick? It wasn't something I asked him, but it's just about the person. When you try to define the Trinity, I've tried my best to define that to a buddy of mine, and the word person, I'm having trouble with that.
Person is a theological term in the context of the Trinity. Think, I'm going to go through this quickly because we have about a minute left. It was borrowed by the early Christian theologians from the Latin, I believe it was Latin, persona, which meant a face mask kind of a thing that actors would use. They'd raise up a stick with a face mask on it, persona, they would play that part, they would use those lines. They borrowed that word to describe what they're talking about. It doesn't mean person the way you and I mean person, but it means person as in a sense of locality, awareness of yourself, and awareness of others. This is demonstrated in the doctrine of the Trinity, where the Father speaks to the Son and vice versa, and the Holy Spirit speaks and things like that. The analogy that I use is time is past, present, and future. But past is not the totality of time, neither is the present, etc. They're all three different aspects, but they're all three combined. This one thing, they're all time. So I use that analogy.
Yes.
I went through that quickly because we're out of time. Okay. Call back tomorrow if you want. We can talk about it some more, okay?
All right. Thank you for all you do, sir.
All right, man. God bless. All right. Hey, sorry about that. Chris from Dallas and Thomasina from Durham, North Carolina. Sorry, we're out of time. Call back tomorrow, folks. And by His grace, back on the air then. Hope you have a great evening. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.